Following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on April 24, 1984 in Miami, Florida. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 17, Verse 4.
Tato neka sahasra koti vimanani ka sankula deva yanena avataram tindhu mandalam avarya brahma sadhane nipatati. Word by word. Tata. After purifying the seven planets of the seven great sages, aneka, many, sahasra, thousands, koti, of millions, vimana anika, with contingents of airplanes, sankula, congested, devayanena, by the spaceways of the demigods, avataranti, descending, Indumandalam, the moon planet, Avarya, inundated, Brahma Sadhane, to the abode of Lord Brahma, atop Sumeru Parvat, Nipatati, falls down. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Boichan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After purifying the seven planets near Dhruvaloka, the pole star, the Ganges water is carried through the spaceways of the demigods and billions of celestial airplanes. Then it inundates the moon, Chandraloka, and finally reaches Lord Brahma's abode atop Mount Meru. Purport. We should always remember that the Ganges River comes from the causal ocean beyond the covering of the universe. After the water of the causal ocean leaks through the hole created by Lord Vamanadeva, it flows down to Dhruvaloka, the pole star, and then to the seven planets beneath Dhruvaloka. Then it is carried to the moon by innumerable celestial airplanes, and then it falls to the top of Mount Meru, which is known as Sumeru Parvat. In this way, the water of the Ganges finally reaches the lower planets and the peaks of the Himalayas, and from there it flows through Haridwar and throughout the plains of India, purifying the entire land. How the Ganges water reaches the various planets from the top of the universe is explained herein. Celestial airplanes carry the water from the planets of the sages to other planets. So-called advanced scientists of the modern age are trying to go to the higher planets, but at the same time they are experiencing a power shortage on Earth. If they were actually capable scientists, they could personally go by airplane to other planets, but this they are unable to do. Having now given up their moon excursions, they are attempting to go to other planets, but without success. Thus ends Srila Prabhupada's purport and translation of text 4, chapter 17, canto 15 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Ganges, recently coming from the causal ocean, touching the lotus foot of Lord Vamanadeva, therefore it is considered to be purifying throughout all of the universe. In fact, Lord Shiva himself agreed to, or requested to carry first on his head. Therefore, all the different people, whether they're Shivites or demigod worshippers or Vishnu worshippers, everyone is respecting the Ganges as very sacred. Recently, one of our life members who was told us about a friend of his who was a Muslim, who said that when I'm dying, then don't let anyone come in the room, but secretly come in and pour Ganges water down my mouth. They put a tulsi on my chest. So everyone is having great respect for the Ganges in India. You find that when someone dies and they're cremated, they bring the ashes and put them in the Ganges. So this Ganges has got a certain purifying factor to take away or wash away the sinful reactions. But the inclination to perform those sinful activities, that is not so easily washed away. Just like somebody may have committed so many crimes, and then if he goes to the... he gets caught by the police, and then if he makes a deal, pleads guilty on certain charges, he can get all of the charges released just by serving one sentence and not contesting it in court. Well, if one goes to the Ganges, you can get relieved from so many burdens. But just like that criminal, again, the desire to, once he gets out again, there's no guarantee that he won't again commit further criminal activities. So even someone goes to the Ganges repeatedly, there's no guarantee that the person will still not be inclined to perform unauthorized activities. That's why it is described that it is more auspicious and more purifying. Vidura was praised that you are more than a holy place. You are a personified holy place. My Maharaj Judhisthira praised Vidura like that in the Bhagavatam. Because by the presence of a pure devotee of the Lord, even the desire to perform materialistic activities is very quickly destroyed. Very quickly it disappears. And instead, the desire to render devotional service to the Lord is firmly established just by having association with pure devotees of the Lord. Sadhu sango, sadhu sango, sarvo shastra koi, lova matra sadhu sango, sarvo siddhi hoy. Sarvo siddhi, or all perfection, is what? Of course, all perfection means to have the desire, the lalosa, the determination to render service unto the Lord. When Raghunath Das Goswami offers his prayers to the spiritual master, and he, step by step, he, in that prayer, he more or less illuminates some of the mercies which he attributes purely and simply to the mercy of Guru. Namo sestanga manumapi sachi putra matra swarupam rupam tasya grajam guru puring maturingo stavating radha kundam girivaranga ho radhika madhavasam yasya praptam pratita kripaya Sri Gurum Tam Natosmi. So the very, of course, it begins, by the mercy of my spiritual master, I've got the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the best of all the holy names. I've got the mantras, the Gayatri. And he had, of course, the association of Lord Chaitanya, of Sarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, of his older brother Sanatan Goswami and other residents of Vrindavan and Mathura, and of course the Mathura Mandala, the Raja Mandala, Giri Govardhan, Radha Kunda, and finally he says Radha Madhava Asam. And the hope or desire for serving the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Madhava, Radha Krishna. So that is ultimate objective. That is the goal of life, is to actually desire to serve their lordships. If you don't desire to serve them, how can you serve them? If you desire, if the real desire to serve the Lord is there, then that is the perfection. Normally people are desiring to serve their senses. They're desiring either gross sense gratification or subtle sense gratification. So many weeds are there in the heart. Desire for nishidachar, desire for illicit activity, kutinati, getting involved in politics, jiva hingsha, becoming envious of others, becoming hurting others, puja pratishtadi, lab, puja pratishtadi, tatupushakagan, desire for fame, adoration, profit, worship. These are different type of desires which come as weeds in the heart, little obstacles in our spiritual progress. Of course, those are shadowed by offenses to Vaishnavas, which are far more serious, but these other come in the form of weeds, are little distracting desires. So the actual desire to serve Krishna, that is the perfection. And that Krishna says, Jayjataman prapadyante tangsataiva bhajamyaham, that according to how someone surrenders to me, I will reciprocate with him. So somebody actually desires to serve Krishna, when Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desires, why he will not fulfill such a pure desire? But how to get the desire to serve Krishna? That is the most rare thing, because everyone is desiring something else. The pure desire to serve their lordships and their pure devotees. We serve their lordships through their devotees, no doubt. That is a special mercy. So that may take many bathings in the Ganges to achieve. That's why even the Ganges, when she was requested to please come down from the heavenly planets here into the Martya Loka, into the Bhuloka, into the middle planets, she was very reluctant. They're all going to come and bathe and leave all their sinful reactions upon me. She wasn't interested. But when Bhagi Maharaj, when he pointed out to her that so many great sages and pure devotees of the Lord, they will also bathe in your waters, to get their association, even the Mother Ganges was attracted. Because those pure devotees, of course, by their presence, because they carry Krishna in their heart, of course, not only would the burden of the sinful reactions in the Ganges be dissipated, but moreover, the association of such devotees increases one's desire to serve Krishna, which we cannot under express how important that is. That is the ultimate. If somebody actually completely simply wants to serve Krishna, that person is already liberated. What anxiety or what obstacle stands in such a person's path? It's because we desire to do something else other than serve Krishna that we are placed into a difficult situation. Krishna bahimukha hoya bhogavan shakore. When we become materialistic, that is described as bahimukha. Means we've turned our face away from Krishna. We're desiring something else. Bhogavan shakuri. We desire to enjoy on the material platform. Then what happens? Is it maya? Nikasta aise japartiya dhore. Maya, she comes up. very close. And as soon as we turn away from Krishna, she tackles us. Japurtiya means she just jumps. Boom, knocks you down. Football, rugby. She's got you, ties you up, just like when they catch those in the rodeos. Rodeo. Caught up. Bound hand and foot. But before that, when a person is simply desiring to serve Krishna, Maya, she has got no ropes on that person. That person is already liberated. Jivan mukta sa uchyate. Iha yasya heta se karmana manasagida nikalasvapyavasta su jivan mukta sa uchyate. So for association with such devotees, Mother Ganges was even eager, all right, let me come down then. There are pure devotees on the Bhuloka for their association. So when she came down in the Navadip Dam, there's one of the nine islands, which is known as Janu Dweep, because there is the ashram of Janu Muni. One of the names of the Ganges is also called Janavi. How did she get that name? According to the Acharyas, in their explanation of the Navadip Dam, when the Ganges came down, she mischievously started to flood the ashram of Janu Muni, and his ashram being severely disturbed by the Ganges flooding, he decided to relieve himself of this disturbance. In a sense, he punished the Ganges. He just swallowed up the whole Ganges. So Maharaj Bhagi, he was going down, making the river course, excavating. So as he's going, and the Ganges is furiously coming, and he's excavating with his, just immediately with his big chariot. Suddenly, he looks behind. There's no Ganges. It's not something you misplace. It's gone. This is a dry riverbed. So it took him quite some time to find, where did the Ganges go? What happened? This disappeared. So finally, he came to the ashram of Janu Muni, and he got information that Janu Muni had actually swallowed the entire Ganges. So he requested him that, my forefather's ashes are lying there burned up by the glance of Kapila Muni. Their souls have no peace. I'm bringing the Ganges there so that the Ganges water will touch their ashes. And so many countless living entities, they're going to benefit by bathing in the Ganges. And you swallowed the Ganges. So I can only please humbly fall at your feet and beg you kindly again cough up the Ganges and I will take it away from your ashram. He said, I'm sorry, I'm already digested. He said, well, anyone who can swallow the Ganges can certainly, and who has that potency can certainly again make the Ganges reappear. We have full faith in your ability. So, somehow or another, Janu Muni was, he was aggrieved, he was convinced, so he produced the Ganges again out of his knee, which is also known as a Janavi. So, this way, Maharaj Bhagi continued taking the Ganges from Navadip Dam down to Sagar, to the island where his forefather's ashes were there. So there are so many pastimes. It's amazing in Mayapur, you see, and there's a specific day when all the Karmakandis, they have in their calendar, just like here they have Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, they have one, they have their calendars filled with pujas. Even our ISKCON almanac only possesses a few of our Gaudiya Vaishnava, but if every day there's one puja or another practically, about every third day in the Indian. But many of them are more like Karmakanda. Things like putting Baifuta, the sister will put a dot on the brother's head and give a blessing to the brother, Rakhi Bandhan. So many different, just unlimited kind of festivals and things. Some of, in India that they're doing. Well, one of them is, of course, very special in Mayapur because we have the Ganges coming there. It's Ganges Puja. I don't know the history behind Ganges Puja in Navadvip Dam, but there are literally hundreds of fire sacrifices going on and kirtans and pujas being performed all up and down the side of the Ganges. Of course, it's worshipping the Ganges. I don't want to put it down on the same level as the Karmakanda worship, but many of them do worship maybe in that mood. Of course, worshipping the Ganges itself is not a Karmakanda. It doesn't have to be. It depends on the mood of the worshipper. Ganges is a pure devotee, but there's so many people worship the Ganges. And, of course, several times we've observed the solar or lunar eclipse, where we'd all go down and we'd stand waist deep or chest deep in the Ganges for several hours. One time on Gaur Purnima there was a lunar eclipse one year, and we all went down for several hours and stood in the Ganges.
Very nice.
Chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada used to complain that here you're living right next to the Ganges, but you don't go there bathing. Those people who come from thousands of miles away, they always immediately go and bathe in the Ganges. There's a Bengali saying that those who live near the Ganges, they don't go. It's those who come far away, they come. And the local villagers, they say, well, it's like if you have a lamp, just around the lamp there's a shadow. Far away the light goes. We're in the shadow. You have to uplift us. But actually, Prabhupada, he said, he requested us that you build me a road right to the Ganges, and I'll go there bathing every day. He said, this will increase my longevity to go bathing in the Ganges every day. We tried many different ways to get a land that went right to the Ganges, but we should have paid any price. At the same time, Prabhupada didn't want us to pay more than the market price. So at market price, somehow we could never, we just slipped our fingers several times to get that path. But one time Srila Prabhupada, of course several times, he walked down to the Ganges. He was just walking with his clothes on and suddenly he said, well, let's take a, he looked around, he said, it's all brahmacharis and sannyasis, so let's take a bath. But Prabhupada, there's no towel or anything like that. This is India. So he just took off his clothing, wearing his kopin and his Brahman underwear kopin, and he put one top piece on the bottom, and then he went in to the Ganges. I think there's a film or a picture of that I saw one day. 15-20 were there. The Ganges that year, because it was very clear in the winter, so you could see right to the bottom, which is rare, and normally the Ganges is a little bit muddy. A little bit saffron color. So like this, spiritual master, by his own example, he's also teaching. And before going in the Ganges, he take Ganges water, put it on his head. Before touching the feet, the water should touch your head. This is the system. So like this, Prabhupada is so kind to make an ashram in Vrindavan and Mayapur just on the bank of the Ganges, so devotees can go there and take bath. And similarly, even though the Ganges is limited by it, at least our ability to bathe in it physically, of course mentally one could bathe in it by mantra, that we have to go to that location. But the pure devotees who actually carry Krishna in their heart, they're so kind that they're going all over the world to spread the devotional service to give this association. So they should be, that association should be given even more importance. You see, just as we give so much importance to bathing in the sacred Ganges River, we should give equal and more importance to bathing in the association of devotees, pure devotees who are simply dedicated for spreading the holy name and fame of the Lord all over the world. So, of course, we personally saw that even though the Ganges water didn't flow here in America, but where Prabhupada went in America or in other parts of the world, he was able to inspire. Still today, so many people are being inspired by Srila Prabhupada's representatives. We know that that spiritual inspiration, you shouldn't take it to be something ordinary. It is actually a type of, like Ganges water coming down, it's a type of mercy of Lord Chaitanya coming down. When he said that he wanted to disseminate this Sankirtan movement and he wanted so many people to assist him. In this way, his mercy is descending. And it's simply being handed, like one from one airplane to another, it's simply being handed. And if someone is fortunate enough to take that water, that mercy, well then their life is also perfect. Anyone who gets this mercy of Lord Chaitanya, they should hand it on. It shouldn't stop there. The flow should continue. Not that one tries to drink up the whole water and then just... No, we take as our full, but we let it the flow go on. And again, we give it for others. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Are there any questions? Yes? Now we've expanded the working group on the Samadhi. We're still lacking a few technical people who know architecture or engineering or art to work. They have a department of artists who are making dioramas and reliefs. They have the local artisans working with them, and they have a big, they have a foundry there where they're casting brass or different bronze or something, deities and murals and reliefs and so on. So they're progressing, of course, in every department a little bit undermanned, need some more manpower for the different departments. And at the present time, the cash flow seems to be adequate if we could get some more in the middle of the year. We're a little bit tied up with the contractor trying to do some program to get the work done faster. So now we're trying to somehow or another motivate the contractors to increase their pace of work. But our objective is try to finish it by the 1986 500th anniversary festival. Since now the construction of the Samadhi had been, the direct responsibility for the construction has been handed back to the Mayapur management from Surabhi Maharaj, who's going to be the architect responsible as compared to this, like directly. So we're just still trying to get a handle on what's actually required. The tiles, we're going to have marble on the roof, so we're ordering marble now for this roof of the Samadhi. Things are going on. We're kind of regrouping our forces so we can put a big marathon driving. A few key people are short. Looks hopeful, although we haven't had a full feasibility study exactly time chart, time flow chart, how much time is actually needed. So that we're preparing now. Regarding, what's the other question? Namhat. Recently, Mayapur was attacked by some armed bandits, a gang of 40 people with rifles, guns, and percussion bombs. And Radharani was stolen when she was returned, but in the fight, in the defense, the head of our Namhat preaching, Raghav Pandit, he got hit by a percussion bomb on his leg. which was blown off. But he's now in good spirits. We're trying to see if we can in the future arrange for him a false leg. But he's still fired up. He's in the Namha preaching now is over 1,000 centers. It's expanding very rapidly. So he's determined not to have any of his preaching dampened, even though he lost a leg. It's a big sacrifice. When he was hit, he never stopped chanting Hare Krishna. He never felt panic or fear that maybe someone else would feel in that way, but he was just chanting and depending on Krishna. So, in fact, even while he was being taken from one operating table to the next, he would call his people and tell them, please go out and don't forget to do this Namha preaching and don't stop the preaching. He says, as soon as I get out, we want to do book fairs. Book fairs are important. We can set up so many Namha exhibitions and book fairs. While he's being taken in the ambulance, he's advising. He admitted that if he was in Karmi life, he'd lose the leg, that'd be the biggest thing. He'd be, pretty shook up. But anyway, he still had one leg, so he could still alive. So he wanted to go on with his preaching. Very big example for all the devotees to see someone so fixed in his conviction and devotional service. Yeah, the Indian devotees are nuts. There's very few devotees we have that are Kshatriya orientated. But we've tried to mobilize as best we can the defense. The government is giving us a police camp there. And from their side, they're going to put maximum security. And from our side, we're trying to mobilize a defense. There's a limitation how many guns or shotguns you're allowed to keep there. They're licensed with great restraint. And they've given us several licenses, so it doesn't seem we're going to get too many more. This will be very limited. The public opinion went very much in our favor after this happened. Sometimes they say, why do sadhus have guns, or why do they, religious, why would monks have to have guns and things like this? But what can you do when you're in, it's like the Wild West some places, so many crazy people. If they come and want to attack you with arms, you have to have means of defending. And they called the police then, and the local police said, let it cool down a little bit. We don't want to risk our lives, We have kids and a wife. The police don't want us 40 people coming in there firing and shooting, the police, they don't want to, 3-4 police there, they don't want to just run in. So the devotees have to be prepared to defend. So that's the basic policy we're making, is that in case of any emergency, at least every devotee, according, some are more passive kinds, so we've given, the passive type can like call the police or take care of wounded or something like that, and the more aggressive type, they can take more forward positions of defense. I think that, it won't happen again, but we can never say that, and we can't take that idea. It could always happen again in the future, so we have to take every precaution, because we don't ever know when something like that could happen. So within our humble means, if there's anyone that wants to go to India for a month or two that knows something about this type of defense operation, we're very happy if they come and give us some advice or even some training or something, because the devotees there, they're not very well, nobody's trained in anything related with this type of defense. But now there's a desire created amongst, we asked for volunteers and 60% of the men volunteered for training, so that is not anyone to train them really, but trying to organize. We're getting a lot of spotlights and sound system and things like that to be as preventative measures, that if there's a lot of spotlights and things, that people would be dissuaded from coming. Yes? How does it help? That's just like a special mercy given. The whatever connection is there between the subtle body and the soul, and the previous body, the remains of the previous body that it was in, when it's put into the Ganges, so that any is freed from so many karmas. Just a special facility given. Just like the son offers worship to the deceased father by offering prasadam or Vishnu, in case the father or mother are in some hellish condition due to their mistakes, because the child is offering them Vishnu prasad, say they're stuck somewhere as a ghost, and they get Krishna prasad, then that elevates them out of that hellish condition. So putting their ashes in the Ganges also has an effect like that. A person may not have been able to die in the holy dham, but then somehow it's like that. After the fact, that type of an effect is brought in. That the person, the individual concerned himself, can't do. That means that the offspring or some well-wisher has to do that. So that gives an opportunity for a loved one to try to do something to spiritually help a deceased person after they're already gone from that body. It's too late for that person to do anything. They're already on to the next position. Yes? Well, the police did an extensive search after they heard it came out in London and New York Times. They took it, I guess, as a prestige thing. They had so many police crawling over that place. We also put up a reward. We offered 10,000 rupees, and then Bhavananda Maharaj phoned up from New York and said, offer 50,000 without asking us. Actually, later on when he heard we offered 10, then he said, oh, wait, don't publish it. But it was too late. Somehow that already got out. So the paper, everyone's coming, is it 50 or 10 or 60? So there was, everybody and their brother was informing, piles of mail coming in. Somehow, anyway, police somehow fished it out and got... This is the one thing in India, recovery percentage in India is very high. I lost a briefcase, and I announced to all the people around, I'm giving right now cash 100 rupees if I get my briefcase back, within 5 minutes I had it back. Somebody dropped it. So many people there. Police are very expert at this type of thing. They have informers on every level. And the thieves also have informers in the police. And the police have informers in the thieves. The reason why we got is because we caught some of the thieves alive. In India, they don't have any restriction on police interrogating prisoners. So we see two of them gave dying statements. We have on tape. And because when they are very afraid, the normal thing is that when these armed gangs come, they take all their wounded with them, because if one wounded is left by and he tells who the other members are, then that gives them the opportunity to... It's not really a vyasa, it's not a kind of discussion, but more like for a darshan. Well, because the Prabhupada once told us, if somebody attacks the temple, they shouldn't leave the temple. They should remain there. So, two of them, one of them, a number of people were injured as they were leaving. Devotees fired on them with shotguns. So then, one of them was wounded. He told his friend to take me, help me. And he saw that this person's wounded, it's too much trouble to take him. He took a bomb and threw it on him. Blew off right next to his head, but somehow he didn't die. But his face is completely just like nothing left. But he was a little disturbed by that. So he did a lot of talking. He didn't have any love lost for his other people. But they're expert. One person organizes it. They bring other thieves in. One thief doesn't know the other thief. They just go and say, there's a job. Where the job is you're going to get this much. And then they meet at one place and say, this is the where we're going to do it. So it's one person only knows two, three others. It's not like everybody knows everybody else. One man is the king, and he brings... But somehow, Because we got a total of 4 people, they were able to find the rest. They found about 8 already. They had the list of all the people involved. All the local villagers came and said, if you hadn't got any of these dacoits, any of these bandits, then it would have been impossible for us to live in this area. They would have just tortured everybody. Those two, they died right on in the temple veranda. One devotee said that we'll, in the name of Allah, we'll forgive you. You just tell us who the other people were. They told. They knew they were dying. They told a lot of names, whatever names they knew. Then they died. We have it on tape. So then from there, the police, they already had a few names. They searched them out. This way, gradually, they got leads. Did raids every night. Arrested a few of them. They did, you know, police investigation. They're still investigating. The director in general, who's over the inspector generals of police, and he came out. A number of big officials have come out. They're very favorable. They want to put a permanent police camp. They want to make it very safe for pilgrims to go there. There was much less likelihood of anything like this happening again for a long time. But still, we're going to take every precaution. We're going to design the temples now with a security mind. If you go to Mayapur and you see on every staircase, you know, steel gates and different things, you'll know why. After all the devotees left, everyone was in Vrindavan. That's when they, you know, see it as an easy prey, because this is how, this, when everybody's there, you know, they feel they're not going to go. But when everybody's gone, that's when they, in a dark moon night, after the 15 days after Gaur Purnima, 10 days after Gaur Purnima, that's the dangerous time. And they even lost the air, so that's all right. Actually, we know Radharani came back because of Prabhupada's mercy. Of course, superficially, the police did this to them, but it's actually just Radharani's mercy. Prabhupada had predicted in 1972, when there were some various robberies all around us, he said that we're also going to be attacked by armed robbers, and we should have, every devotee should be sleeping with some form of defense in the night. And I've been single-handedly reminding everyone of that instruction, but frankly, I got very little response. Whatever attempts I tried to do, gradually people just became very, they just thought, well, we have such big building, nothing. Even 3 days before I was in Mayapur, I had done extensive security arrangements. But people thought I was just a fanatic or something. Now they're saying, we didn't follow the instructions of Guru, so these things have happened. You can ask Dr. Mahesh. 3 days before, when I was there, we were up till 3 a.m. guarding different, because we had saw lights in the field. Might have been the same group casing the area. I had many dreams that they were coming, trying to take the deity. On several occasions, I told them, I gave money, I said, build steel gates in front of the door. They didn't build steel gates, they had wooden gates, so they chopped the wooden gates down. It took them 2 minutes with the axe, the big axe. Krishna gave us so many warnings. But that's the point. Krishna gives you a warning, because you can't stop that. Demons are hitting every temple. They hit every temple there twice. They hit every household at least once. So there's only a matter of time that, and they'd already made several, we've been attacked several times, just because it's completely in a very remote area. So it's nothing very unusual. Prabhupada said this is going to happen. We should be prepared. We weren't that prepared. If we were prepared, there's no way they could take our deity. So now everybody should be prepared that this Kali Yuga, these things can happen. The reason why they took Radharani was because they thought she was solid gold. She's so well worshipped, she's so shiny, they thought she was 6 kilos of solid gold. She thought she was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. They didn't think that the same Radharani was in a grass hut. At that time we didn't have any elaborate security arrangements. And now the same Radha we brought to our temple. They thought that because she looked so nice, the people that came in, oh, she's gold. She's more than gold. She's effulgent, so that's why. But they think, well, at least she's gold. When they took her, of course, they can't take her. She's still standing, just like Ravana thought he took Sita, but actually that was the Maya Sita. Then, of course, they found materially that she wasn't made out of gold. They felt very disappointed. I take it that whatever happens in the Holy Dham, that has significance over the entire world. So the fact that we got attacked at the Holy Dham, this was an indication that our movement was under attack. And that they were trying to, and therefore they're trying to take Lakshmi. That our movement is under attack, and that demons are trying to steal the Lakshmi from this movement, and we should take every precaution to protect Lakshmi. And that's exactly what the anti-cult is, that they have this opulence, we're going to hit them where it hurts most, in their pocketbook, by litigation, drain off Lakshmi. Different places. The demons become envious, so they want to attack Lakshmi. And this is just Prabhupada telling us that we have to take every precaution so that Lakshmi, just as we would protect the deity, so that she's not accessible. Similarly, somehow the Lakshmi or the wealth of the movement in terms of material assets should be protected from the demons who want to steal that, so that it can't be used for serving the public, serving Krishna. Hare Krishna.